OMFIF Podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. On this week's episode, we talk about women in fintech. This is Kat Usita from London, and today we talk to Chama Nguyen, co-founder of the Center for Finance, Technology, and Entrepreneurship. Thank you for joining us today. Today's episode is part of a series that we've been doing on women in finance related to OMFIF's research in gender diversity. In past episodes, we've spoken to central bankers, finance professionals, and academics. It is my pleasure to have Chama Nguyen with us today as we delve into the field of fintech and fintech education. So to start things off, perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about CFDE. What does it do, and how did you come up with the idea? Because you are one of the co-founders of this organization.
CFTE, we are the Center for Finance, Technology, and Entrepreneurship, which is a corporate digital university who is supported by senior leaders from the largest institutions, startups, universities. And it really addresses the need today that most of the finance professionals need to upskill. They need to learn, understand technology, how technology is impacting finance, because things are rapidly changing. We are changing the landscape that is totally constantly changing and disrupted by emerging technologies. And so CFT designs solutions for people and organizations to acquire the right knowledge, the right skills, and the right mindset to enter this global fintech ecosystem. So we're based in London, but also in Singapore. And so how do we train millions of people around the world to get the right knowledge and skills? Because things are changing so fast that the reality is that most of the people are so scared about technology disrupting their job. And so we do that via online education. It's the only way for us to very, very touch the people in a lot of different countries, be, you know, people in Vietnam, Malaysia, US, India, but also UK, for instance.
Because your programs are conducted online, right?
Yes, it's very much online. And for us, it's very much came because, I mean, I'm coming from traditional finance and I started my career as a trader. So I was a trader at Standard Chartered in New York, and it was in the late 90s. And then I moved to Dresdner Klein Wood Benson to help to set up the emerging market desk for in London. So I understand the jobs in capital markets quite well. I made a shift from capital markets to wealth management, and I joined UBS Private Banking, where I help advising ultra high net worth Asian clients out of London. And a couple of years ago, I left banking. Very much, I discovered by leaving the world of finance that actually finance was in disruption. There were a huge transformation that was taking place in finance, but 6 years ago, 5 years ago, not a lot of people were aware. And it's by attending the Singapore FinTech Festival in 2016, Singapore FinTech Festival, where 12,000 people were attending this FinTech Festival, I was blown away and I was saying to myself, are we missing something? Why 12,000 people are coming and we hear about APIs, blockchains, cloud computing, machine learning? All this new technology world for us was just technology. For us, nothing was related to finance, but it was the opposite. Ravi Menon, who is the executive of MAS, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, said on stage, the world of finance is changing. For those who don't equip themselves with the right knowledge of digital finance will not see opportunities. For us, that's why. That's why we set up and built CFT, to allow millions of people today to get the right knowledge and skills for them to see opportunities.
I think it's fantastic, the work that you're doing with CFTE, you know, having founded it, and now it's a big organization with students all over the world. What kind of organizations sign up to your programs?
We work with the main tier one banks, also with the insurance as well. We train professionals in finance. We train central banks. We train also regulators and people in tech companies that are also seeing finance coming into the industry big time. Why are they contacting us? The main discussion that we have with the banks are because they're facing massive disruption. They themselves want to be innovative. They themselves invest massively into technology, but some of them really recognize that people are the center of everything. And if they don't equip the knowledge for the people, they will not be transformed. They won't be able to basically be into this new world of finance. So we spend a lot of time working with the top leaders from the banks. We work with the managers and we work the employee. How you bring at every level of the organization the right knowledge. The top leaders could be having the right strategic decision, understanding, of course, what's the impact of technology on finance, but also helping them to see what's happening around the world so that they can make the right strategic decision. For the managers, it's very much to understand, of course, the impact of technology on finance, but also how does it really apply from the business? How does technology has an impact on their business so that they can actually conduct the business with their team? And for the employee, what we help is very much for them to have the right knowledge. If you enter a room and you have the right definition of blockchain, or how do you define cloud computing, everyone in the whole organization have the same vocabulary. So they don't feel that they have to search this. It's all common vocabulary.
Like you said at the start, it can be very scary when you are entering a new phase and there's all this new jargon, as it has been with the emergence of tech and finance.
Yes. You know, some of the people we talk to is that, how do I start, you know, learning all this new vocabulary? Is there any a place where actually it's been recognized by all the regulators, the central banks, and recognized by the industry that this is the right way to explain what is a blockchain, what is an API, and et cetera, et cetera. And so this is what we are trying to achieve here. And I like the way is that no one today should be left behind. So let's try, you know, to get everyone with the same terminology.
So you mentioned that you have central banks and regulators also subscribing to your program. And OMFIF, as you know, we work a lot with them. In fact, we're coming out with our second report on central bank digital currencies later this year. So what are they in particular interested in? So you already mentioned making sure everyone's on the same level when it comes to the jargon, the vocabulary. Is there anything that regulators and central banks are looking at specifically?
You're totally right. We spend a lot of time with regulators, with central banks. Actually, last 2 weeks ago, I was in Hungary, where we spent a lot of time with the central banks. And what do they want? What do they need? Is very much, how do you regulate and take decision on cryptocurrencies, on open banking, on challenger bank, on new technologies such as NLP, artificial intelligence, the new Libra, you know, coming up? How do you regulate and take decision if you don't have a real understanding and knowledge of what's happening? Lots of central banks don't want to be left kind of behind of the industry, and they want to lead this discussion. So what they want is really quickly understanding what's happening elsewhere around the world about, you know, this new technology, so that they can really take the right decision and be part of this global change and transformation. So this is what we do mainly with central banks. But what I see, which is something that was very interesting for me to share, is that they want more and more, the regulators and the central banks, be very close to the startup world. Okay. Sometimes, you know, they feel that there's so much happening that having them very close to the ecosystem geek, meaning that all the startups world that is happening, they get some new perspective. First is the knowledge of what they're doing and the understanding a little bit of why are they being set up. So the business behind the startup, we work with most of them. We have an ecosystem of 500 startups around the world. So we understand the startup world quite well from the Asia, Europe, and etc. But they need that. They want to have an understanding of the ecosystem. But what they want is also a new perspective of what's happening. And also, what was interesting for me to have a conversation with one of the central bank from Africa, the new way of thinking. There are so many ways now of the startup that they're working in different way, thinking growth, thinking the mindset of growth, thinking like an entrepreneur. And sometimes it's by really much spending time with them that we've realized that they also want to be part of it and transform also their way of thinking and the way of working as well.
That sounds really great. I mean, from outsiders' perspective, central banks can be perceived as very rigid institutions, but actually it's great to hear that they are getting ahead of the curve and looking at upskilling and looking at the wider ecosystem and how things are changing. So that's great to hear. So as I said, OMFIF works a lot with central banks as well, and part of our interaction with them is this research on gender diversity that we've been working on. So for a few years now, we've put up the Gender Balance Index, which tracks the balance of men and women in leadership roles in central banks as well as public investment institutions. So I just wanted to maybe learn a little bit more from you and your experience as a woman who used to be in finance and conventional or more traditional part of it, but now in this new emerging field. So could you tell us about how you got into finance, and was this something that you were always interested in as a child when you were growing up?
First, you know, congratulations at launching the index. I was part of the launch in London, and I was amazed by the work that you do, so congratulations. And for me, you know, coming to finance, you know, when you start a career, I don't know for you, but for me it was very by chance.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I was not meant to be in banking, but I started in medical.
Oh, really?
I started with medical, and I really quickly realized that it was not meant to me. So I went immediately to Oxford to take English courses, and I wanted to be in finance. Why? Because my world, I was discovering in London, this new world of finance, was for me was fascinating. It was at that time, you know, something that I really wanted to pursue. So I came back to France, where I studied finance, business school in Paris, and did my last year in finance in London. I came pure chance by meeting the global head of at Standard Chartered on the trading floor. And I said, I'd love to learn. I'm French, of Vietnamese of origin, and I know Asia quite well. And it looks like you are very much into Asia and emerging market, and I'd love to see. So I got my first experience at Standard Chartered in London, managed to deliver some project that they offered me to start my first career as a trader in New York, where I was working as a trader. I was trading emerging market currencies out of New York. It was very valuable experience. But no, I didn't want it to be someone in finance, but I love finance in general.
And in that early part of your career, or maybe even later on, were there any women who sort of served as your role models, like women maybe in your company or in other companies that you look to as mentors or as inspiration?
Oh, I have lots of amazing women in my... But, you know, Kat, in the industry of finance, there are not a lot. I mean, in my time, you know, when I started on the trading floor, I was the only woman.
Wow.
In New York trading my currency. So for me, looking for someone was not easy. So not really had someone at that time that I could, you know, see as a role model. Today, things are changing. But I have to say, you know, what inspired me today, and because you shared with me, you know, it's probably coming from my ancestor. Personally, I have my grandmother, a very brave woman, a widow. She set up her business in Hanoi in Vietnam. And through the war, the Vietnamese war, she lost everything. She did a very successful business, and she moved to California to set up her own business with her children. And she gave me that courage, you know, to set up. It's not obvious, it's not easy, but the drive and the commitment, and when you want to be an entrepreneur, it's a lot of the skills of resilience and adaptability and the drive, and you always want to make sure that you can create something and build something from scratch. It's something I always wanted to do. That's why a few years ago, when I moved away from the finance to venture into the world of education in fintech, what drove me to do that is I wanted, as my grandmother, to create a long-last impact. And while there are new ways to create a lasting impact, I was personally most drawn to the medium of education as a change maker. And while at CFT, I look to provide a significant better representative of those who are often missing out of the traditional finance education. And so for me, it's important, and it can be shown, because today, how do you make an impact better than education? Today, CFT is welcoming, we have over 60,000 learners from over 100 countries. and they come from diverse backgrounds. So today, what I've seen in the traditional finance, but not today, is totally different. In traditional finance, what was missing for me, I feel, is that finance used to be very exclusive to a certain part of a population. Today, the finance is changing and is disrupting. Fintech industry, the new world of finance, is in need of new talent, people with different skills, different background. And so I was in finance before. Of course, the sheer lack of women in the industry quickly become apparent. And it's still the case. Today, if you look at the figure, 29% of employees are women. The experience that I felt, and today building CFTE, if I can support more women in the finance and technology and the fintech space to jump into that industry, the huge opportunity out there. The industry is growing, is in need of talent. A lot of the skills required to enter the world of fintech is the skills that are very much people's to people skills. We need people to understand people because technology is taking place. So people who have skills like collaboration, interpersonal skills, problem solving, all these skills are very people skills. Of course, hard knowledge skills are important, but soft skills are very important. And so that's why probably those skills are the skills that women can do very well. Women in general love to collaborate, to solve problems. They adapt very fast. So I'm very pleased to say today I have 40% of my professional learners who are women, who are learning online to get opportunities. So I think the form of learning, of continuous education, can greatly help women to enter this male-dominated financial services. Having access to a pool of well-trained and highly skilled female professionals can help the finance industry to flourish, to thrive, quite apart from addressing the gender disparity.
Yeah, because for the longest time, finance has been traditionally full of men, and now with this disruption from technology, it can be seen as an opportunity for women to actually have the skills that are missing.
Yes, and I would add also is that today, and it was not the case so much previously, is that what we see at CFT is that it's not only women. I would say, of course, women is important because they can really thrive. A lot of women are entering into the space because they see opportunities. They see that they can be welcome. They see that there are also new ways of working remotely, find the right balance between their family life and their work life. The fintech industry is welcoming people who are working at home or working remotely or having more flexibility in terms of work. It's more acceptable in the fintech industry than in the finance industry. But what I see is that today, 50% of our learners are not only finance professionals. They are all coming from other industry who wants to get into finance. What does it mean? It means that the profile of the people are very totally different from the establishment we used to see in the banking industry. So we train people coming from technology. We train consultants, entrepreneurs, people who coming from totally diverse industry who now wants to get into fintech. So it's of course very, let's say, encouraging to see more women entering the world of fintech, but also, and I'm very pleased to report that people from diverse backgrounds are entering the world of fintech. What I also want to say is that today, fintech companies and banking institutions are beginning to collaborate more and they form partnership, which means that this will help traditional firms, organizations, to embrace a much more diverse workforce to empower this new industry, which is very nice to see that we didn't see before. So having this collaboration between the banks and the startup, meaning that the people entering in general the world of fintech is very, very different from before. So that is something that we are very pleased to recognize through CFT platform.
That's also something that we're seeing in OMFIF's platforms. I mean, traditionally, OMFIF has been really a forum for central banks and asset managers and commercial banks, investment banks to all get together. But the profile of our discussions are really changing. Now we see more finance companies also joining, startups, different kinds of organizations are now joining, and it's really also because of the nature of our industry is changing. So of course the players who come and speak to us are also changing.
So we are starting to see amazing profile of women who have started being traditional into their career. They're not necessarily coming from finance. They're coming from marketing into the industry. Mm-hmm. They're coming from their lawyers, their consultants, their journalists, their professors, very starting to make their journey into fintech. And now I have lots and lots of examples of those women who are really taking a leading position into the fintech space. Not only in fintech, if you look at some of the examples, is that only this year, we are looking at role model in finance. I always share this example of, I have on CFT platform experts, and they are brilliant women. I'm very pleased to always share, you know, we have Anne Boden, CEO of, you know, Starling Bank, who is doing amazingly well. She's coming from traditional finance, and now with the booming of the industry, she's starting from scratch at building up one of the most prominent fintech companies in the world. In fintech, she's setting up Starling Bank. You have Claire Calmejean, an amazing expert in the world of fintech and in finance, who is now the chief innovation officer for Société Générale, directly reporting to the CEO. That is a role that never in the world of finance we would hear. We are seeing incredible women who used to be working in traditional position in regulation, now leading Magdalene Loeb. She used to be on the RegTech, on the regulation at Prudential, an alumni of CFT, who has now, you know, take her journey, and now she's the global head of innovation at Prudential Singapore. So we are really seeing changes that is taking place for women in fintech.
Those are great examples. So do you see that tech is actually leveling the field for some of these women, because finance was so traditionally male-dominated? Now that you've got the disruption of tech, women can actually take advantage of that opportunity if they upskill, if they adapt, and so on.
Yes, totally. I think now it's very much about the industry of finance and technology and fintech needs talent. Those who want to take advantage of having great position is the one that can adapt very fast and get into those roles. And you're totally right. I mean, start your journey, start learning, and the opportunities are phenomenal in fintech. And that's why women are very good. They have the skills, if they have the knowledge, and they adapt fast, and they have the mindset, the right mindset of growth mindset, I think they can thrive. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt about this.
So aside from upskilling, what else can companies do to support women within their staff? How can they support them in the progression of their careers? There are so many reasons why there aren't enough women at the top. What do you think should be done in order to support that and encourage that?
I think what we see is the lack of role models. Before, in finance, it was very, very difficult to see, you know, how can I envision my career to the top if I don't have role model. And the reality is that in finance, there's not a lot, from the central banks, from the finance, from the banks, insurance. It's very, very rare to have a successful woman leading this organization. Today, I hope that things are changing. Why? Because we are more vocal. I think we're starting to see role models, the people that I just mentioned, but also to see that they are, of course, there's a lack of role model, the lack of women in leadership roles. What we see more and more with fintech and is that now there are more association. So, you know, we encourage more women to be together, to help mm-hmm. each other, because women, they love this community side. The community, the association, there are lots of different ways. I can mention in London because we are in London, but all around the world, there are initiatives. And we were actually, when we started at CFT, we worked with associations such as 100 Women in Finance. 100 Women in Finance is an amazing association around the world at helping women to be together. This is what we are trying to do at CFT as well. with the 40% of our learners being women, what I'd love is to encourage them to connect, to be part of a community so that they can share, they can be part of a project. That is super important. You know, you want to make sure that they can actually share, they can connect, they can be part of a project.
In our gender balance index, we always get asked, why do you keep highlighting a female central bank governor? Why do you keep highlighting the female president of this or female CEO of that? Well, I would say, well, because there aren't a lot of them. And for younger women to realize that it is possible, we do have to highlight them. We do have to put that spotlight on them. So you're absolutely right. We've seen a lot of women in finance organizations, like the 30% Club. There are so many organizations that we've worked with, including yours in a way, on this topic. And they are important because that's how we feel that we're not alone in this march towards progress.
Yes, you're totally right. I think today, I'm very optimistic because I think today, because the world is changing, I see a lot more women wanting to go back to work after having had breaks.
It's so important to have the support system from other women because so many challenges are unique to women. So for example, in the case of childbearing and child rearing, a lot of that responsibility naturally falls on the woman. That's why we need to support each other. And companies have to support women who are going through that.
You're totally right. Who is responsible today? You know, when you are a woman and you work, you know, for an organization such as a bank, I mean, the reality is that you take breaks because you go on maternity leave. The reality is that whenever you take even 3 months to 6 months break, the reality is very hard for us women to actually get it recognized by the organization or your boss that it's a challenge, that is something that is not good for a woman to take breaks, so that she has to catch up with that a few months of her leaving her organization to raise her first child. Then after that, when you have your second child, it's even worse. The organization and usually your boss wouldn't recognize you as the first person, even though you've done amazingly well throughout your career, to have a career progression so that you can go, as most of the people in finance would love to get that MD level. If you look at the MD level, which is usually the case of most people in finance, they would love to reach at a certain level.
Yes.
But the reality is that less and less women get that title because they choose to get a break. And after a certain time, when they come back to work, they have to catch up. And I would love to encourage more central banks, organization, government, to not actually penalize women, but actually support and recognize that those months that they are taking away from their work, it's actually good. You are having your child, but you will get the same way as a man would do, recognition for putting yourself up to the ladder. And that will have to come from the top. I'm really convinced that if the top, the leaders, are not understanding and recognize that this is actually a great achievement to take breaks and come back more incentive to do better. Mm-hmm. And if she's really willing to take leadership position, she's entitled to. She shouldn't be penalized for that, but actually be recognized that, okay, she's taking a little bit of a break, but now it's her time and she really wants to try. She really wants to take leadership position. Get her a path so that she can go on top of the ladder. And this is very important. What I want to say is that I had a discussion with some of the senior leaders. I was in Singapore 2 weeks ago, and he was saying, who are to have today the true skills of a leader of the future? And he's the CEO of one of the prominent, largest insurance company. And he said, today, I've changed the way I hire people. And he's very forward thinking. He's a true leader for me. And he said, I hire totally different. I hire people who understand people. I surround myself with people first who understand digital. I surround myself with HR people. And when I look at all the people that are around him, a lot of them are women. So I was very, very pleased to see. It's not about women in general, but I was pleased to see that it's changing. So that is for me an example that things are changing.
That's great to hear. And hopefully things change even more for the better in the next few years. So really excited to see what CFTE has in store in the next few months and in the next few years. And I hope that you can continue to be our partner when it comes to the Gender Balance Index.
It's by working together that we can change, and we hope that we can collaborate more and more with OMFIF to bring that gender equality balance.
Thank you for joining us, Drama Nguyen of CFTE. It has been great to speak to you today about women in fintech, and thank you again for supporting the Gender Balance Index. If you've enjoyed the program, then please do leave us your comments. We are also now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We release podcasts every Tuesday, so do check us out.